make sure that that's all nice and entered. There you go. I don't know about that. It pops right up. That's always good. Okay. Make sure this works. This is on. Clicker is on. If this doesn't work, that's okay. I can always use my paw. Yeah, clicker isn't gonna work today. I think that's all right. We'll try one more thing. If it doesn't work, then that's not the way.
It's not up there.
No, I know, that's fine. I was just seeing if this clicker would work. It's not. I'll just use my paw. No big deal. Now, that's the two. Oh, duh. Of course I know why it's not working, because I had it. Now this is connected. So if I do this, yes, all right, perfect.
Great.
All right. Hey. Hi everyone, welcome.
Hi.
Hello. This is Sprays of Mental Health, for Philadelphia 2023. First off, thank you for coming, and I noticed that I'm starting to sweat profusely. Yay! first off, how many of you, because I can't see too well, how many of you came here last year? I want you to clap if you came here last year for this presentation. Hey, thank you for returning. As you can see, we have been, I guess, upgraded to special events. That's nice. And I've made sure to get all the equipment prepped, whether that's video, audio, everything, this year. So it's actually recorded. We're going to help furries, right, on YouTube that are struggling with mental health and otherwise. So I just wanted to ensure that this information can be seen by as many furries as possible. So that was the goal here. So, this is the QR code for the presentation. Let me just actually check one thing here, Matt. Double check. Make sure that we're all good. Oh, we are perfect. Could you actually Matt, you know what? It's all good. You're just a little bit of this of the screen side, but that's all right. If you move to the left, you would have to move like probably over there, like to the end of the table. But in any event, this is the QR code for this presentation. Those of you watching at home on YouTube or here can go ahead and scan this, and then this presentation contains the code itself, so you can spread this presentation all throughout Philadelphia and beyond. Just as a note, right, the presentation contains discussion of PCD, post-con depression, and some suicide prevention information, including some tough questions to ask in a tough conversation. So that's what we're going to go through today. So who am I, Alan and you? My name is Brian Wolfay. I am Cherry Hill, New Jersey native, been in Cherry Hill all my life. I'm a COVID-19 survivor. I had that in December of 2022. Would not recommend COVID-19, would not recommend. It's my third year going to FD, second time staffing. I was IT last year, IT this year. Currently a contractor for New York Life. I started therapy in June of 2021, and this is the second year for this panel, and I'm so excited to give it to you guys. And this gentleman over here, I will let him introduce himself. But I have to ask you, why are you here talking with a wolf, huh? What's going on? Why are you here? What's going on?
I'm his therapist, so we thought it'd be good if I joined him for this presentation.
Yes.
I'm Matt Portis. I'm a licensed clinical social worker.
Yeah, so I use the service called Talkspace. I found Matt on Talkspace. Last year was Matt's first ever furry convention, and it was our first time actually meeting in person because before last year I had never met Matt in person. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So Matt, you said on the previous slide, if we look at that you're an LCSW. So what is an LCSW here?
Yeah. So it's a licensed clinical social worker, but sometimes people get confused with what is therapy. What are these different types of credentials, licenses. So one thing, the easiest way to start is a psychiatrist, some people think that they give therapy. They usually don't, mostly medication. There's exceptions, but for the most part, it's, you know, 80 to 90% of the rest of us, licensed clinical social workers, psychologists, licensed mental health practitioners, and then psychiatrists do the medication.
Yeah. All right. So we have that there. So why are we having this presentation on first mental health? I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit from this slide. So once again, right, mental health is not talked enough about in the fandom and in society in general because of stigma, right? But I skipped ahead a little bit, but those furries who have mental health issues may only feel comfortable talking to those within the fandom and not professionals due to stigma, right? A therapist may say, oh, that furry stuff, we need to get that out of your life, right? That's a bad thing. You know, that furry thing is horrible. Let's go ahead and let's nix it from your life without them realizing, right, those therapists knowing that furry is a lifeline to many people. It is a life-changing thing. So, we also wanted to bust what going to therapy actually means, because there's different ways of talking about that. Show what it's really like, share my experience, and you gain confidence in yourself, whether that's you or your furry self. Show that it's healthy to express furry outside of most sanctioned or furry safe spaces, such as fur meets furballs, hells, cons, etc. And of course, use common sense. And once again, thank you, Matt, for helping with this so much.
Of course.
So, on that, you may say to yourself, but BW, I'm not scared. I'm a proud furry, right? I go in fursuit and I do everything else related to furrydom. I'm totally proud, out and about, all the time, every day, all good. But I will counter that and say, are you really, right? So are you afraid to reveal furry to family, friends, or coworkers? Are you concerned about reactions? Are you going to get talked to by HR or even fired, right, at work? Is it a big secret going to furry events, your online purchases, interacting online? So you may say to me, Matt, where are you going this weekend, right? And I'll say, I'm going to go see some friends. And you'll say, oh yeah, where? And I'll say, a convention. And you'll say, oh yeah, what convention? And I'll say, not sure how to respond, right? You're sort of, it's hot up here. Oh, look, a bird, right? That kind of thing. So, you know, that's another point, right? Are you constantly concerned about other furs and how they act online and how that affects other non-furs view of the fandom, right? So that's another thing. And then also consider, right, there's going to be people online that interact with the fandom that never come to conventions because they're too scared, anxious, what have you, right? So that's who this presentation is for. So I promise that you have this and that therapy can help. You got this. So what therapy is not, right? So the big thing that you'll see in cartoons, right? So let's say, you know, Bugs Bunny comes into Matt's office. Let's say Matt, because I don't think you have a theoretical therapist couch, right? You have arcade machines or something in your office, right? So yeah, he's got some arcade machines. So let's take that big therapy couch. Let's throw that away. The big line, tell me about your mother or father, right? The therapist saying, oh, you're crazy for this furry stuff, right? And because you're crazy, let's go and give you these medications, right? As Matt said, right? He does not give out medication, right? That's a psychiatrist. Another thing that you may be concerned about is that the therapist doesn't care about you. They simply just want your money. That's a whole big, you know, thing. Some other excuses you may hear, oh, it's too far away. Everything's in person. The secretary likes to stare at me funny, that kind of thing. And of course, the big one, especially in media, is I'm cured. I went to therapy for 2 minutes, and I revealed my life story, and I realized there was a deep-seated thing that I forgot about, what have you, and now I'm completely cured. That's not how it works. So, what is therapy to me? OK. okay? So before we get into me, I have this ad, which you can view after this presentation if you have the QR code. By the way, if you miss the QR code, it's okay, it'll show up at the end. That therapy is not just for serious needs, right? The ad speaks of, most people think of going to a therapist as going to the emergency room. But the ad speaks of, it's like going to the family doctor or the eye doctor. It does not have to be a serious thing at all. It's accessible and private. So I use a service called Talkspace. That's where I found Matt. We'll talk more about our setup in a little bit for that. And honestly, it's just a conversation. Matt and I talk about a lot of things. It is something also I look forward to because we talk about a lot of cool things. That we laugh a lot. We talk about games, cartoons, and more. And I think Matt and I have agreed a number of times that if he was not my therapist, we would definitely be friends. And we are friends because of this, because we have so much in common. Like, he could be like, oh yeah, I had a Genesis growing up. And the thing is, oh, that Sonic fan, that Nintendo diehard guy, right? We can talk about all kinds of stuff and, you know, all those things. So good conversations, good stuff to have. We have some people joining. Just FYI, I know that you missed some things. That's okay. There's going to be a QR code at the end to get this whole presentation, and this is going to be available online as well. So it'll be all good. So this is a text message I sent to a former coworker, and I'll read it here. So it says, "It just feels good to have someone in my corner and provide tools." Excuse me. Tools are different ways of looking at things. Someone to help summarize feelings and thoughts and turn them over, examining them with you in a trusted space. And once again, your therapist, as far as I've thought through this, your therapist can be considered the thought detective, right? They're going to discover about you, what your deep desires, wishes, and goals are, and some potential, I'll call them excuses or blockers around those. So like things like, I'd like to do that, but, or, you know, I don't think I can ever do that kind of thing. I don't think that's possible, right? So that's just some examples. And your therapist is there with you saying, hey, this thing is getting you excited, right? How can we get that excitement more into your life, right? How can we make that possible for you? Another thing is to map out the thoughts that we have there, or rather I should say, the reasoning behind the thoughts, such as events and patterns that have happened in your life. You may be looking at things in a different angle, right? Because of you were normal, because of how you were raised, your biases, things like that. Your therapist is there as a check to say, hey, you know, this thing that is happening to you, let's say, is unfortunately not healthy. So that just someone there with you. Because you're also too busy. That's another reason, right? You could have certain assumptions. You're just too busy living, right? To actually stop and reflect on your thoughts or feelings that you're having. To discuss, right, for fun and profit, right? So Matt and I discuss games and everything else, and then he talks about something from his childhood or what have you, and then I say, oh yeah, I remember, in my childhood, when I was a pup, this happened and that happened, and then we just go from there. So once again, it's just a conversation. That's all we're having here. And as I said, I was going to say here, so Matt shares experiences too. Matt asks a lot about how things resonate. So Matt cannot feel what I feel because he's not me. So he always asks, right, how does that resonate? What are your thoughts on that? Just to get a feel for, if I agree or disagree with something, or if I'm really excited, bummed, what have you, right? So it's really important to get that feedback so they can make that map and figure out what's important to you. And then, of course, they're there to nurture, right? Yep. All the good thoughts and goals to give you support and encouragement. Someone has somewhat of a metaphor I'd like to give to this is, think about like a Zen garden or archaeology. So for archaeology, just think of it like you and your therapist are looking over the remains of a long-gone animal. You're looking over them together, and you're saying, why are these bones the shape the way they are? How did this animal move? How how do these bones work together? If you find them, let's put them in the right order to see if we see the pattern, see if we can make that skeleton of that animal. So it's the same thing with your thoughts and your conversations with your therapist. These are all just my personal experiences and my thoughts. So Matt, let's talk about this a little bit, right? your phone just went a little bit.
No, for sure. So, as Dan said, we started working together in June 2021. Because it is online therapy, there's different formats we can use. We chose audio messages.
We did.
Or you did, really.
Yeah.
And we spoke that way every night, pretty much like 5 days a week. So I started to learn that you live with your parents still, and you have a rewarding career in information technology. We'll talk more about that, but there's been a little change, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, after a little bit of uncertainty, you did share more about your commitment to the furry community, and eventually that you were going to attend a FurCon.
Yeah.
The other big topic that came up next after that is how to talk about your persona with your family. So, Dan, could you talk to us about what that was like for you once you decided to do it?
Yeah, so one thing that I've learned is that even though inside the fandom, you may be super proud and appreciative of yourself and your persona, and other people in the furry fandom are of it as well. There are, unfortunately, in this world, there are going to be people that are not as appreciative. Either they may be, hey, that's neat, kind of like a lukewarm thing, or they may even say, hey, you know, how come you're doing this thing, this furry thing, this is weird, I don't understand, right? But that's okay, because those people exist, and they have the right to not be as into it as you, but that's okay, because all you need is one person, right? There's 8 billion people in this world now. You just need one person to enjoy this thing with you. And luckily enough, you have a whole fandom. If there's one person in front of you that's saying, this thing that you're doing is weird, you can look behind you, and you can see a nice, colorful, fuzzy army. And you can say, well, these people, right, these furries support me, so I'm going to take what you said negatively and say, okay, bye-bye, right? You're just going to just kind of let it slide off your back a little bit, right? So that's how I've come to learn that, and it has not been easy, right? Especially for your loved ones, right? So, but it is possible, it is possible.
Yeah, so then Dan, yeah. We're gonna come back to the work discussion, because what happened was Dan was in a job that he enjoyed, and then things changed at the whole company.
Yeah.
And then Dan was in a position of needing a new role. So Dan, can you talk about that transition? You know, what that was like, and you know, how you got to where you are.
I can. So in February of this year, the start of February, I got called into a meeting with a number of other coworkers, and they said, hey guys, we're gonna lay you off at the end of February. And I was like, oh boy, this is not good. In the meantime though, the current HR person at my work, or rather at my previous place of work, seemed to be very geeky on LinkedIn. In fact, he listed geek on his LinkedIn profile. And it was that kind of openness, I guess, on LinkedIn that made me change my LinkedIn profile from something that was more human to something more interesting. So this is my LinkedIn profile. So LinkedIn, if you don't know, is a professional networking site. So if you're looking for a job, you're supposed to put your human face here. You're supposed to put a silly professional banner here. In fact, when you upload your profile picture, it says, you know, make sure it's your, it says something to the effect of like, make sure it's your human self or whatever. And I'm like, okay. So I said, okay, I'm just gonna go and see what happens. Because the thing is, if you didn't know, there's furries on LinkedIn besides me. They just don't advertise it as much as me. So in any event, because of that HR person at that previous job, I was searching for a new job when I got that message. And my LinkedIn profile looked like this. And luckily, I got a new job as a contractor, and they hired me while my LinkedIn profile looked like this. And I said to myself, if they want to hire me while my LinkedIn profile is furried out, then, well, damn. That's pretty cool, right? So, I will also say that at that previous job, I built up some confidence with one person, right? Once again, you just need one person. I built up some confidence with one person at that previous job. Not my current job, but the previous one. I built up some confidence, and I ended up changing for a time until they forced it back. I changed my profile picture to the same one you see there as my LinkedIn. But in any event, Matt and I did a little role play while I was while I was at that older job, and it was funny because I think you kind of like coaxed me because you were doing like a role play, right? Because furries do role play. You can role play with your therapist, right? That's powerful for therapy. He was role playing as like, what would you describe it as, Matt?
Yeah, well, a blue dog. What's that character you've got there? That was pretty neat. What does it do and stuff?
I think you put a little bit more emphasis on it before in the chat, but it was like someone who, you know, didn't really, you know, understand and was, you know, potentially older and just didn't get this cool new thing of furry, right? So, but anyway, because of this role play and because of the HR person from my previous job that was pretty geeky, and because of me getting hired while my LinkedIn profile was furified, I hesitated for just a moment on the first day of my new job. But on the first day of my new job, I did this. My profile picture was set to my furry self on the first day of my new job. It has not changed. So I did it on my first day, and I was so proud of that. Now, for some of you, this may be you can do this or cannot do this, or some of you may say, hey, this is old hat, I do this every day. This was a big step for me, right? For showing the side of myself at work, because to me, at work, you are at work to work, you know? You are not supposed to have fun at a place of work, you know? What is this fun stuff? But anyway, after a time, I started showing my stickers at work. So actually putting them in chat. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing to chat with coworkers using your stickers, because when you are having a tough time at work, when you have an accomplishment at work, when other coworkers are thinking about food or, you know, getting tons of emails or someone has a bright idea or you're at a presentation or whatever, you can fill that in with this furriness. And my coworkers love it. So I'm like, I get to get paid at work, to work, but also express my furry side at work, and I get positive vibes from that? Well, that's pretty damn cool. So, I have some chats here from two of my coworkers, Jean, who is very supportive of my furry self. So here she basically says, hey, your wolf icon is really cool. How many of these, you know, things do you have? Things like that. This other person, Jackson, I was speaking to, he really liked my icon mixed with how I was teaching people at work. Just to skip through this quickly, let me see what he said here. So he thinks my icon and my persona are really cool. He thinks I'm cooler than the wolf from Madagascar 2, which is really cool. He said, you are a much cooler wolf. Comparing the two, your icon is way cooler. And then I showed him my ref sheets. And he said, I was reading, that's so cool. He even has his own lore and backstory. Dang, your lore is so cool. So I'm like, man, like, give me those positive vibes. That's so cool. And then Jean, who I spoke about before, she said the most powerful thing that I think, excuse me, that I think a non-fur has said. She said, so we were talking about the stickers, and she said, it really did give me joy and re-energize me. And I said, that's wonderful to hear for both me and the artist. I said, and also it hits deeply to know that it brings you joy. It may sound, excuse me, it may sound weird to you right now, but I never thought it would. Excuse me. I always thought that the stickers and everything else was to be shared inside the fandom, and to bring that outside, and to have people not to recoil, but to embrace that, and to be supportive of that, is extremely powerful. So once again, you just need one person out of these 8 billion people on this planet to help boost you. And I said, it means a lot, it really does. It's something, oh, and I said, something that we should talk about. Which we did. I did reveal myself as a furry to her. And she is totally supportive of it. So outside of work, remember, as we said last year, Matt, to go off of this Switch ad, to be yourself and have a good time, right? That's what being furry is all about.
Are we interested?
Halfway.
So we're half hour?
Yeah. That matches what we had here, so we're perfect.
Yeah.
Good. So you want to try to normalize that joy in your life, right? To make it a part of your life, instead of something that's locked away, something to be ashamed of, something that no one is allowed to see. This is something happy, joyful, freeing, right? So if you normalize furry in your life, it's going to normalize it for yourself and for the others around you. Once again, we are the adults now in this room. We get to decide what's normal. And I keep going back to this comment because it's so true. Colored plastic balls in your room? Because I could do it. You know, that's the comment. Because you're an adult. You get to decide what to do. Therapy means different things to different people. There are two people, I believe they're both from Japan, sorry if they're not. That had dreams, big dreams, of realizing their animal selves. One is a collie over on the left, one is a wolf, fellow wolf, on the right. There was a comment made on the left one, said, have you considered therapy? And newsflash, maybe these persons are their therapy, right? Maybe this person is therapy for them. And for the person on the right, the article said, for this person, today, the costume gives him a power that he doesn't feel like he has in everyday life. So once again, it's about that empowerment, right? So now, I don't know who this furry is. So if you are at home and you are this furry, I'm sorry. I'm not meaning to attack or what have you, anyone. But I found this video, and this gentleman in this video is saying, so what's Anthropon like to you? And then they say, refer to the sign, please. It has therapy with an X, a giant animal head, as a check mark. Now, Matt, I asked you what you thought of this sign, and Matt would prefer the sign to say something like this.
Yeah, people have the right to believe whatever they want, and it's really true that for some, therapy is not going to be the right fit, and something else is going to help them much more. I hope people take this sign in the right way.
Yeah, but for some people it can be both, right?
It can be both.
Yep, which yes. The sign that your version of the sign says. So, let's talk about PCD. So what is PCD? Postpartum depression. Postpartum depression is all of these things, right? You're doing all of these weird things that you normally do not do outside of a convention, like little sleep, or hygiene, or eating habits. Not getting enough water, tons of social media stuff. There's a lot going on that's different to your body. And then that makes you a sad for after the con, right? So it's a lot of sign stuff, a lot of sign stuff. It's the low after that eye of the con too, right? Because You're doing all this weird stuff. There's all these people around you, all these furs around you, and then all of a sudden, you know, it is done for the day. So you may experience sadness, fatigue, inability to focus, and irritability, just some research from First Science here. But you can, sadness is okay. You can beat this thing. Talk to other furs, or ideally your therapist about this. They have a professional line. Normalize smaller furry gatherings or activities for yourself. Normalize furry in your life, right? And if it doesn't exist, make it happen. Why not? What's stopping you, right? If you want to go host a fur bowl with yourself and one other furry, and you call the event the venue before, they say, yeah, go ahead, dress up in this furries, whatever, you're good to go. Why not do that, right? Don't let your mood do this to you, right? So we want to normalize furry within your life. You don't want furry to be, you don't want your mood to be controlled by that sudden drop in furries in your life and your mood dropping in sync with that. A reminder that Furradelphia has a quiet room right below us. If you go down into the panel rooms area where 1, 2, and 3 are, and if you go all the way back, I think it's on your right, there's a quiet room. So if you feel overstimulated, feel free to go in there. So I want to tell a quick story. So Friday night at Furradelphia last year, I was on staff last year. Everyone was working very hard to give you an awesome con, and we did. We worked very hard this year to give you an awesome con. I think we're doing a great job. But Friday night last year, it was more intense, right? Because it was the first time here, new venue, getting this stuff set up. So after the whirlwind of my part of staffing was done, I was on little sleep, little food, everything else. Things just hit me, and I felt sad. And I said to myself, I'm at a furry convention. I should not feel sad at a furry convention. There's a problem here. So I called in a good friend, Lafayette. I said, hey, I sent him a message on Telegram. I said, hey, I could use some hugs. So they came down, they gave me some hugs, they were there, they gave me some support, and I'm appreciative. I was appreciative of that. So just if you feel sad, before, after, during the convention, feel free to reach out. There's no shame in that at all. Most furries love to hug, myself included. I want to bring up this slide from GDC 2013, 10 years ago now. In a previous life, I wanted to be a game developer. But this slide shows that hugs are good for you. Even petting animals helps. So if you're hugging a giant animal, is that like a super duper hug? I don't know. But hugs are good for you. 4 for survival, 8 for emotional stability, and 12 for healthy growth. So please make sure to get this number of hugs per day. There you go. But very helpful. Please make sure to take a look at this slide when you can. Most furries love to help those in need. Now, Matt, this is where you come in with some information here. So I'm going to go ahead and bring some numbers up on the screen here. These numbers or anything?
Sure. This is a general suicide support line that you can call, and people do. You may be in a position to do that, hope not. But there's some things to consider. This is a text version.
Right.
I did. So
in this situation, if someone is in this situation, what would you do, Matt? Right? You have something you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. The average person calling up, they make a really brave move and they take on that responsibility. When I have to deal with a situation like that and help someone who's suicidal, I'm not alone at all, really. I have a lot of support, the other therapists, the staff. And so, to give this example, Jim, not his real name, had recently been hospitalized and he came in for an intake with me. As the conversation went on, I could tell he was a bit shaky and I asked how he was doing. And he said that basically he was feeling suicidal right now. So we spoke about it. He agreed to go back to the hospital. I called an ambulance for him and I contacted his emergency contact. But all throughout this, I was able to consult with my supervisor. I had other more senior therapists to give me guidance. You know, just concern for you, if you're in this situation, realize you won't have that. So just reach out for support and, you know, be cautious.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. So you as a furry can help other furries as well if you wanted to. But before you do that, you have to set boundaries. You have to know yourself. How often are you annoyed, tired, frustrated, panicked, or anxious? Those are some things to ask yourself. You need to know the other furs' real name, real physical address, and an emergency contact, such as a therapist, neighbor, spouse, partner, family member, what have you. You need that information if you're going to decide to help them. I know it's painful, because furries love to help, but you need this information if you're helping someone. Make an agreement with the other person, the other furry, that if they are threatening to harm themselves or others, that you're going to call emergency services. So that up front, both of you know, you both have the agreement in place. Sometimes the helpers, you, need help, and that's okay, perfectly fine. Furry is a family for some, but that doesn't mean that outside help is off the table. Consider that therapists like Matt are true professionals. They have resources, education, and experience that you don't have, right? We've done this for, what, 10 years?
Plus.
Yeah. 10 years plus. There you go. So, there you go. So, so how can you help? Make sure you listen. Just being there helps. Notice their mood, angry, somber. Don't be afraid to ask the really tough questions. Did something happen recently? Are you thinking about harming yourself or others? And then, of course, the big one. Are you thinking about suicide? Continue to talk to them. Take what they have seriously. Turn their thoughts over with them. Are they not seeing other possibilities that you see? Remember the boundary. Remember the own boundaries you set with yourself and the agreement you set with them. Because a wolf does not fight alone. Do you have something to say, Matt?
So the boundaries are really important. You know, if you're taking on a situation like this again, you have to remember your own boundaries, which feels weird to think about, but this can become very heavy very quickly. So, Dan, I think we're up to the place where you had a conversation with your family.
I did, yeah. So I had last year, because of my work with Matt, I had spoken with my sister, and I revealed to her that I was in therapy, that I was asexual, that I was a furry, and that for the very first time, starting last year, I had become brave enough to commission my first ever fursuit, which I had never done before. So that was a huge thing for me. Now, I'm ready to talk about that. I was hoping that it would be fully ready this year. Unfortunately, it was not fully ready, but that is okay. There were certain parts that were ready, which I'll show you in a moment. But I wanted to, I actually got the news that it wasn't gonna be fully ready on Thursday, right, very early morning Thursday, and that hurt very much. But I said to Matt, you know, we have a choice. Either I could hide this from you, and regret that celebration and not celebrating it with you all. Or I could take a chance and I could show what I had to show to celebrate with you all, to make those memories. So I figured it would be best to make those memories with you all. And Matt, I don't think you've seen this slide, but I took this screenshot from The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, one of my favorite games. And you get bottles in Zelda, and there's a bottle salesman, and you can go and buy a bottle. And then at the end, when you buy it, he says, now, hold it above your head for the whole world to see, okay? It's good for business. So that kind of stuck with me, right? Because that's what you do in Zelda. You hold up an item that you just received. So now I'm going to reveal what I have. There we are. So I have hand paws, I have arm sleeves, I have leggings, and you're with me here, a brand new tail.
Yeah.
So I'm only, thank you so much. So I'm only missing my foot paws and my head. So I'm hoping that if you go to New Year's Furball, that you will see a wolf that looks like this, instead of a sweaty human that looks like that. And once again, thank you, Randy Ringtail, for taking this photo yesterday.
No problem.
While I quickly suited and desuited. And I have to say that yesterday, I, of course, Randy and I were talking about it. We were thinking that, you know, because I didn't have the footballs in the head, that I suited for longer than I possibly could have with those on. But I was able to suit for like 4 hours. It was pretty cool. So I just couldn't be at, I felt like I couldn't be as silly because I didn't have the head. So we'll see what happens when I get the head and footballs. One of the things I wanted to bring up was this quote that Joaquin Baldwin, the layout supervisor of Zootopia, he heard this furry say this quote, and he drew this art because of that. And the quote says, "You have no idea how much this guy changed my life." And there are a number of furries that have resonated with this, myself included. Thank you, Gold Ribbon Studio. Gold Ribbon Studio is the maker of my fursuit parts. They're actually there, table D7. Go say hi. Let them know that you know me. Some of you may be here from their photo shoot that because of the situation that we ran into, I could not attend this year. But in the future, I'm hoping to wave to you all. And also, I apologize, but of course, I could not attend the group fursuit photo this year for Philadelphia, but I'm hoping next year. No problem. Lastly, further resources. Are you a game developer? No one? Remember we talked about Zelda, right? When in the first game, there's an old man that gives you a sword, and the old man says, it's dangerous to go alone, take this. There was the Take This project made by fellow game developers for game developers, because the game development industry has a mental health issue as well. So if you know one, there's resources there. And then also, there's other suicide myth-busting resources there. And once again, therapy isn't always a serious discussion. Someone in your corner, as I spoke about, a pressure release valve, a different way of looking at things, uncover thought patterns and meanings, stop those thought loops, explore scenarios, real or imaginary, right, with role play. Find more happiness, find the imbalances, and find strength. And it's good. It allows you to sing your song. Just remember to bring your permit in case you get charged for howling. And once again, take care of yourself. Something that has been running through my mind this year is that you are an endangered species. There is only one of you. Excuse me. So please take care of yourself. So what did we learn today? That therapy is pretty cool. It can make you more confident in yourself or for yourself, or you can normalize it for you. making it normal for others, and so on. Once again, normalize for you in your life, for yourself and for others. PC these things, but we can beat it together with your therapist, with our fellow furries, what have you. Keep hugging, make sure you ask for it. Keep helping in ways that are comfortable for you and others. Keep being a furry because it's you and you're valid. If you'd like to keep in touch, here's some links. They're in the slideshow. Did we still get on time? No one didn't make sure we're keep in touch. These are available in the presentation as well. So if you have that, it's in there. If you don't, you can scan in a moment. I'm running a number of talks. Two more today, one more on Sunday. Furries with Disabilities and Asexual Furries Meet Greet up next. Personal Finance for Furries, AKA, or How to Get Your Fursuit for Free on Sunday. Lastly, be social. Use furries and mental health publicly on social media to let others know, including 99, what you thought about the panel. Continue the discussion on mental health in the furry fandom or otherwise. Talk about how furry has positively impacted your life and your mental health. Don't be afraid to say hi. I want to meet everyone. I want to meet you all. Be a proud furry. And now, open floor. Thank you so much, everyone. If you fail to scan the presentation or scan the QR code before for this presentation, scan that code right there. You'll get all the slides from today's presentation. Does anyone have any thoughts? Want to come up and give me a hug? Whatever. I'm here.
A hug.
Oh, hug. Okay. All right.
I also want a hug.
Go ahead.
Yeah. When you mentioned normalizing, that'd be as simple as like hanging up like a charm of your persona on your rearview mirror.
Yeah, I couldn't quite hear the first part, but you're saying could that be therapeutic or helpful?
Yeah, and you mentioned like normalizing being a furry to yourself and others.
Oh,
yes, that's a good small step.
Yeah. So there are, you know, it's all about. So I can tell you that at work, right? As I said, I use those stickers. So the question was, what are some small steps to normalize furry in your life? So anything that you do related to either your persona, expressing your furry self. Whatever it is, whatever joy, right, that you bring yourself through furry, however you want to do that, that's fine. You can wear a tail. You can, as you mentioned, you know, have little, keychains in your car hanging from your rearview mirror, have a little tail hanging there. As long as it's not obstructing your ability to drive, you're fine. Stickers on your car. If you're at work and you have a coffee cup, you could get a coffee cup with a little furry character or persona on it, whatever you want, right? It's your life, right? It's up to you to find those things that bring you joy, and if furry is one of those, you can decide how and where you want to express it. But once again, right, if you feel confident enough to talk to someone at work about it, right, if it's like inside you, it needs to come out, find someone you trust at work. Talk to that one person. Once you talk to that person, I mean, like for me and Gene, it's really cool because now I get to make like wolf jokes with them. So it's really cool. And also, you know, like Jackson as well, there are a few people at work. So does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, thoughts, concerns? Some raised paws?
One over here.
I got a raised hand, yeah?
Someone,
yeah.
Not a question, but are you secretly planning to make a therapist become one of us?
Well, the thing is, you know, I have a piece of audio. It's actually sitting on my desktop where you think that you're kind of afraid because you love Sonic and you love Tails. So, I mean, he's like 90% of the way there already. Maybe.
Yeah.
You have any comments, Matt, or you want to say no comments?
I'm open to that process. I like to think I'm running parallel to it. You know? Okay. Yeah.
Hey, blind wolf,
hey.
I know you know who I am. You can hear the voice. Can you hear?
I can, but I'm trying to place the voice.
That's okay. You know, I know you know who I am.
Oh, Yes, I know exactly who you are.
Now I know who I am.
Yes, I do.
I want to elaborate on that other question of trying to make a reference to authorities, and I'm trying not to just everybody here. If you feel like you need to go to be a therapist, I will admit I've gone to therapist for a long time. I've had several therapists. I first hit being a furry, and I got nowhere in my problems. My current therapist, I revealed, and I actually wear my hat and pause during therapy. We do a video session there, and it helps me to open up, helps her to open up. And I now converted her, she wears ears on the app. Which is with me. Okay.
So, Matt, if you want to wear some tails ears during the video session, I'm fine. But in any event,
I kid,
but we had someone, it's up to you if you want to reveal, but I won't say, but we had someone in the audience here, just for the audio, we had someone here that said that when they first started therapy, they did not reveal themselves as a furry to their therapist. They felt that was not effective, basically, but now that they revealed themselves as a furry to their therapist, they feel entirely more comfortable. They do sessions with head and paws on. So once again, right, you're not going to get to the root of your joy or your issues if you're holding things back. It's going to hurt for a bit to reveal that you're a furry because of the potential baggage that word could have to your therapist, but it's worth it because I could say, I will tell you that I was nervous letting Matt know that I was a furry, but I said to myself, I said to myself, I have to do this because if I just hide this thing, it's just gonna fester, right? And the emotions around that are gonna build, right? So it's not going to go away. So once again, therapy is that pressure release valve, right? All those emotions building up, they get thrown away, right, out the window. So they get released. That's the point of it. To have someone to talk to. So, do you have any other thoughts, questions?
I'm a little older. I'm 61 years old, and I've been working at the Postal Service for several decades and coming to cons since 97. And when I get talking to my coworkers, I mention, we have a good time. We socialize. We raise money for charity. We have our artistic selves and everything like that, and we have a blast. Well, guess what? Other people have similar interests, but they may channel it into sports or religion or rock music, whatever,
sure.
And so there's all sorts of stuff. This is me. I talk to my coworkers. I've done a long-running college radio show where I talk about the conventions. I tell people about furries. I try to dispel the myths and so on. This is my thing. They may have another thing.
Yep.
And once in a while, I'm a furry too. You never know. You might be, really? Have you gone to this convention? No? Well, then maybe you should. And as far as post-con depression is concerned, we can keep in touch with each other after the con,
sure.
But there's other cons coming up. Do some more cons. You can now look forward to the next con. Yeah, when this one ends, it's too bad it's over, but guess what? I got this one in 2 months, then another one a couple months after that. I can do artistic things. It's just great. So I know it might be a bit of a letdown when they have that closing ceremony, but you've got another con coming up hopefully in a couple months where you can channel your energy. So you don't have to have a huge pitfall.
Right.
You'll come back because there's something else coming up real quick.
Exactly, right. That's why I say,
look forward to another con.
Sure. Even for me, going to cons is tough, so that's why I say, hey, if there's no furry events, just, plan something. Try to find at least one other fur that's close to you. Plan a bowling event or whatever. Just get together. It's powerful just to know people around you that are of a similar kind, right? Because then you could share that same energy, if you will, right? You know that you're among friends. You can kind of let the walls down and be yourself. So, thank you for sharing. Someone have a question? Yeah? Go ahead.
I will just say, because I can't see nothing for long. I will be.
Hi.
There you go. Now you have
someone. Yes, I do.
So, this is actually a question for Matt. This is part of the different. So, I've not a therapist by any means, but I hope a lot of people ironically, maybe a month and a half ago, I actually had a massive breakdown where I actually ended up in the psych hospital because I was injured and I couldn't really function. I feel like I'm weird. I have a disability where she can have to be too productive at work, but she doesn't do therapy. As a person who gets used in the world as being a part of the world and helping and communicating, how can I do that if I don't have the accessibility to either go out and connect, like when I was in?
So I'm not sure if you want to repeat the question for the microphone.
Oh, sure. So let me make sure I understood. Basically, when you're laid up, when you're prevented from interacting in the world, you usually like to be productive and helping others. What do you do then when you're kind of stuck that way? Is that?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Well, I work for medical transport, so I'm always helping people. Like, my whole life is involved in helping people. So when I can't help people, I fall into a spiral. So I don't, you know, I don't really have that coping mechanism to kind of alleviate that form of negative energy, because, you know, it's hurt. So,
yeah. Let me answer two things I'm hearing. You know, I think if you're stuck at home, just want to push back against what we said before. It's great to reach out and find people online who
yep.
need help, but just, you know, within reason,
right.
measured. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything else, Matt, that you want to add?
Okay.
All right, any other questions, comments? I think there's someone over there.
Yeah, sure.
Me?
Yeah. I am conflicting, at times, I have conflicting hobbies between stories and my other hobbies, such as airsoft. So I'm like, at times, I'm just like not sure how well it's like. It's a dilemma. But I'm not sure what to do with that.
So the concern is that you have conflicting hobbies and you're not sure what...
I feel like I pick and choose between each.
Oh, so you're torn between what hobby to gravitate towards.
Yeah.
So... we are multifaceted animal beings. So there is nothing that says you can't enjoy both things. It doesn't have to be an either or. The concern is that if you do indulge in both fully, then you're going to wear yourself thin and deplete your energy.
Can I have a
culture
of my local area of furries and tactical stuff? So
okay.
There are airsoft furries. Yeah.
I've seen people sort of merge it and like wear tails at various arenas. Hell, I have like an airsoft tactical vest. With a circle on it. It's kind of cool.
Right, and then this personal experience, like for example, I love birds, and then you have also, I love aviation.
Okay.
My area, I love birds. Right, and I guess I would say that in terms of I don't think you should try to have your brain somewhere in one or the other. I can tell you from personal experience, that was maybe crazy. I would say just go slowly about it. See sometimes what you need to be one and indulge in it one day or maybe one day you feel like playing the day after the team gets off. And then another day like you know what I'm snug or something. So again, airsoft is fun, but I'm not sure you can find so many things out there. Even though you're playing with so much
I'm gonna try to summarize for those that may be watching. So my understanding that if you want to merge the two hobbies, you can, and if you do so, just do it at a pace that's good for you. So example, I think you said like wearing tails to, you know, like an airsoft range, basically, that was one option. So does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Because remember, at the end of the day, it's your life, and you just need to watch how you want to enjoy things, and you can focus in on what brings you joy specifically from each activity and try to merge the two. And if something doesn't work, you can try to merge in a different way, right? There's no right or wrong answer. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're having fun and it's got good vibes, I would say Matt is supportive of anything healthy and good, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
So
yes.
Right. Any? Yeah, we can take one more question. Someone have a
Okay. So, kind of a question, and also bringing up a myth about counseling and therapy, yep. and just in general. A lot of people are always afraid to talk about suicide with their therapist.
Yeah.
Because they feel that they're either going to get 302'd, which is involuntary inpatient, automatically.
Oh, I see.
And I was just going to ask Matt over here, like, to kind of clear that up, because that's one of the biggest myths out there.
So can you repeat that for me?
Yeah, sure. So the person in the audience is just has a very real concern that when you tell your therapist you're suicidal, will they have you hospitalized, basically, or you know, something along those lines? So what I do with patients, one thing is I do have to push clients to tell me if I'm sensing something. So, you know, that's a little bit uncomfortable, you know, for lack of better words there, for the person. But at the same time, I'm very clear. Oftentimes we're talking about a suicidal ideation, thoughts, very sad thoughts. That is not the time, you know, to call an ambulance. When you do, is a very narrow experience where the person is thinking like physically aggressive thoughts. They're going to harm themselves or someone else right now in the next hour. So I think if we're all specific about that and the client is too, we're going to avoid most of those situations. You're pretty safe. Yeah.
All right. Well, Matt?
Yeah.
All right, very good.
Thank you.